What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Chats with the Freak. My name is Emmy, and this week I have two hard rock bands on for you guys. The first one is going to be a band from Canada called Hopeful 16, and the second band I have for you guys is called Parallel Motion. They are a band from the States. They're both hard rock bands. They're both kind of the same genre, just kind of from two different countries. They were both awesome, and I'm really grateful that they both took time out of their week to come on and speak with me. So make sure you check out their singles. I linked all of that in the description of this. And I guess stay tuned for some more freaky chats. Oh, Hopeful 16, you guys just signed with DI Records. And you guys are from Quebec City. Can you guys tell me a little bit about you guys getting signed with DI Records?
Yeah, I mean, he wrote to us a month ago. And, you know, we just started to chat, and, you know, he said that he was looking for bands, and but like, he wasn't, like, trying too hard, you know what I mean? I mean, he was really, like, honest and really real, like I'm talking to a human, not just someone that tried to say good things to you to be part of your team, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was really like, oh, that the guy seems cool, you know, and everything. So yeah, so and then we
do a Skype with him, and he just convinced us that he was a real human and that real
connection.
Yeah.
And so after a month of just, you know, speaking to each other, we decided to sign because, yeah, the guy is awesome.
Yeah, Dakota's a great guy, and he's a big supporter of MSU Media for sure. DI Records is a big sponsor of MSU, and they've done a lot for me. And I love Dakota. He gives me a little bit too much shit sometimes, but his heart's in the right place.
Yeah, he loves to do it.
Yeah. He definitely has a passion for music, and it's really cool. It's cool to see somebody excelling in what they love to do, and his place doing the record label stuff and putting all that stuff together and seeing it work so well. Somebody who's so passionate about it, and like you said, an actual person.
Yeah.
I agree. Exactly. And he's a Sasquatch, so that's okay.
Oh my god, that's great. So tell me a little bit about how Hopeful 16 like formed.
Yeah, I mean, Stephanie started the band a few years ago with other members, and at some point, you know, they all tried something different, so she needed, you know, band members. So when I moved from Montreal to Quebec City, I met her, and I started to, you know, see if we can have potential for any music relationship and everything. So I joined the band because I liked the song, I liked her voice and everything. And then we did that for just a few months before we needed a drummer. And we asked Simon, because Simon was already a friend of Stephanie. So, and he joined, and then that's it. So Full 16, it's all about music first, and then friends. I don't know how to say now. Sorry, that was so bad. No, I mean, it was all about the music first. Then we grow to be friends, you know. So
three
it was
years.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now,
yeah,
in
yeah.
A trio. Trio?
Yeah. I don't know. Huh?
I don't know. Trio?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a word.
When we are three people in the band, yeah. How do you say it in English? It's a because there's a duo,
yeah, a duo and a
trio. Is it?
Trio, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. I wish I knew more French, actually. So I'm very jealous that you guys can speak two languages.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we are like a little bit sloppy, or like we're trying to find the words, but we just have to talk more.
Yeah. No, your English is great. If I talk too fast at all, just yell at me, because even people that only speak English can barely understand me sometimes.
Yeah, you're good so far. No problem. So this is how we became a band. That's It's pretty
it's a short story.
Yeah, it's a short story. It's just
That's really cool. So how long has like this form of Hopeful 16 like been together?
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years? Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So I know noticed that you guys when you guys released the debut EP, was that with the current lineup or was that a previous kind of lineup?
Yeah. Would you handle this was with the previous member still alive. It was with Cedric and not Simon. And after that, we will release our new EP Delusion. And now it's Cedric, Simon, and me, but it's not released yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So the new stuff is the three of us.
Mike Traveler, Collision, Mighty Cyrus cover, everything. It's with Sed and Simons, but
the two other releases before was with the other members.
Oh.
I mean, not really, because the EP Still Alive is with me and Stephanie. We were kind of just two people there.
Yeah,
it was kind of like a duo project. Yeah, I definitely like to get that. So I did notice that you guys had a cover of a Calvin Harris song that came out like 2017, 2018. Hopefully I have my facts right on that. And I saw that you guys, on your bio, it said that it kind of changed some stuff for you guys like as a band. So I was kind of wondering, I wanted to ask you guys about that.
Yeah, because with Facebook, it really, I mean, we released it on YouTube and Facebook. And it blew up on Facebook. Like I don't know how many views we had, but we did a little campaign with Joey Sturgis' wife, Christine Sturgis, and she did a few campaign previously, I think, with
promoting
bands like this. But like, yeah, and it blew up, and then the people in the scene were like, oh my God, Hopeful 16 just released something really cool, you know, really like unique. And we were, I think that was the first song that we were just three people. So it was kind of the new sound.
Yeah.
Like the new us. So people were really like, oh shit, that's...
And people love cover too, so...
Yeah.
We do like a punk ghost pop style. Of the song, it is just blow up because of that. Because we're not doing this much. We're not a cover band. So everyone was like, oh my God, they do a cover. Let's go listen to it. I think it's just that everyone just...
And they were excited to know what will be the original song sounds like, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. I find that with certain bands, and I did check out the cover of the Calvin Harris song that you guys did, and it was pretty cool. I really enjoyed it. And I find that it either goes one of two ways. Either they do it kind of, fans like you guys do it really well, and it's a really cool thing. It's like, oh man, this is so dope. I love this. Or they do it and they do it really badly and it just goes south. So I definitely can appreciate like a band like you guys taking something and making it your own and doing a really cool thing with it.
Yeah, thank you very much. And yeah, I mean, we do a few covers here and there. I mean, we did the Miley Cyrus Mother's Daughter cover too, a few months ago. This is like a newest one.
Yeah,
and we did it the same thing. We tried to be like the music video for the Miley Cyrus cover is just a little bit more artistic because we tried to be more artistic with our video. But yeah, we have a new cover coming out, but. It's still a surprise for people to know.
Soon.
Pretty soon.
Well, I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for that because that definitely sounds interesting. You guys mentioned that you guys have a new EP that's coming out at some point. Do you guys have a date set for that yet or is that still up in the air?
Yeah, no, it's November 7th. It will be out on every streaming platform and everywhere, but you can buy it on our website, a digital copy. It's
right,
yeah, it's $10 and you can that will help us a lot and a lot of bands, of course, but yeah, you can buy it for $10 and you have a digital copy with, you know, pictures and stuff, but it will be free on every platform on November 7th.
That's great. I'll definitely have to be checking that out because I'm really excited for that. You guys are like in the Quebec City, Montreal area, and I've never been to Canada. I have some close friends that live actually up in that area. I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about what the scene's like. Obviously, right now, with the whole COVID-19 thing going around, there's not really a lot of live shows and stuff. But when we're not in the entire world's not in a pandemic, what's the scene up there kind of like?
There's a lot of underground band, of course. There will always be, but there's not like it's not music oriented. It's not like crazy festivals. I mean, of course, do we have?
We have like just one festival, maybe two, that are important in Quebec.
Yeah.
Not just big festival with metal music. We love metal music and we have like a big metal scene, but it's always like underground.
Yeah.
Never people think that they can be in the USA. So like
Yeah, I mean, what you try to say is just like we never I mean, people here don't necessarily think they can go play to the US or something. They just think that they will stay there. I don't know why, 'cause I mean, we played a few shows in Quebec City, but we really want to go play the USA, 'cause this is where the music that we do will benefit, people
and
that,
we have more
and we
fans
have
in
more fans
USA
in the
than
USA
Quebec.
than in Quebec City. Yeah,
Yeah.
we have more friends over there than here. It's crazy. I don't know. It's just people love country music here,
Yeah.
or
Country, metal, underground, but indie
yeah,
rock.
indie rock, but they're not into what we do
No.
exactly. So this is why it's more
It's difficult
difficult.
for us
Yeah,
to
but this
stay
is
here.
why we just want to come play to the United
And
States,
we find Dakota.
Right. Yeah. As you were saying that, that didn't really dawn on me that a lot of my friends that do live up in that area are all really big country music fans. And I just thought that was kind of like their thing. I didn't really make the connection that that is probably just like the geography of that area. They just mainly listen to country music. That's very interesting. I never really made that connection before.
Yeah, and of course, because we're French people, there's a lot of French artists too
Yeah.
that sings in French, and it's mostly pop and country. So when we play,
We can't play at the radio right here because we sing in English, so every radio is like, no, you have to sing in French, so we don't have exposure because of that. So that's
yeah.
why we spot the USA and just think, okay, we can do
This is
something there because everyone here just listen to French people singing and it's the big thing.
yeah, but our market is in the United States, and I mean we just want to come tour there. This is like the main reason why we are a band right now, is to come play the USA.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hopefully I'll be able to catch you guys whenever you guys make it down this way. I'm also a live performance photographer, so I would definitely love to come out and check you guys out sometime. That would be absolutely insane. I would love that.
Yes,
Yeah.
because we can, like, you never know what can happen on the show with us. I'm crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
I just go completely nuts and do funny stuff.
Not funny stuff.
Yeah, it's funny stuff.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, how did th this kind of a question for both of you guys? How did you guys get started in music?
Yeah, I want to go, Steph? Stephanie?
Oh, you can go. You can go.
Oh, me first. Oh, yeah. I was a pretty I didn't have any friends when I was really young, because I was more in my head than really social. So I turned into music just because I thought that they understood me. And at 9 and or 10 years old, I discovered Slipknot, System of a Down, Marilyn Manson, all of these bands, and I was like, oh my God. I didn't understand any words, but the music, spoke to me in a way that I was like, okay, I feel like I belong there. And I wanted to pick up a guitar because I liked the riff that Slipknot and System of a Down did. So I was like, okay, I want to play these riffs. So this is how I started, just by being in my head and trying to find a place as a kid.
That's all?
Yeah,
Okay.
for me, that's pretty much why
Okay.
I.
As long as I remember, my father was a drummer, and my grandfather was a singer, and my uncle was a singer too, opera singer, and I was in the music like always. I play with my dad like Metallica, Spring, every day, like I was 5 years old, and I just sing and seem to play like piano, and for me it was just natural that I have to do something, and I just learned to sing and just very like it and do it every day. And I do like a solo artist, but in my mind I will always need to have like a band.
I didn't laugh.
I try to speak in English, but
Of course. I mean, she can sing in English, but sometimes she's having trouble. I mean, what do you mean? It's like you never wanted to be a solo artist. You just wanted to have a band.
Yeah.
And people said, oh no, you should be solo artist and, you know, should sing in French and stuff. But she said, no, I want a band. She wanted to rock. That's what you mean, eh?
Yeah.
Right.
And I can't speak for Simon, but I think it's pretty much the same thing as me. He was hooked up because he felt alone a little bit, so I think that's why he started.
I find that a lot with different musicians and even people doing in any aspect of the music industry, whether they're in PR or doing stuff like I do with podcasting and photography, or if they're running even like a record label, that's usually how they wanted to get involved with music, is because they felt very alone and music was like the only thing that was there for them. And I find that really empowering for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just true. I mean, and then I've discovered Pink Floyd when I was 14, and it changed my world. I was like, oh my God, that exists. I mean, The Wall. I mean, I was 14 years old and I was like, what the hell is that? And then you know, like music really, I can't have just one song for my life. I have to, okay, this album, I was that years old, and that album, I lived that, and that album, you know, this is like, every album is like a decade for me, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. When I was 12, I discovered Alice in Chains and had that oh my God moment. When I heard Dirt the first time, I was like, oh my God, like I have found everything that I need in life.
Yeah, it's true. It's really powerful what music can do to your soul. I mean, to your, even when I was sleeping, I was listening to music, and
me too.
I had dream because of the music. This is good. This is amazing.
Yeah. No, that makes me so happy that other people feel the same way that I do with that, because when you find stuff like that, it changes you and it puts you in a better mood, and it makes you just feel all around better about yourself.
Yes. And when we create, I mean, we feel that way too. When we listen back to our song, we love our song. We enjoy our song.
We have like a story like, behind it.
Yeah. Every song is a story. And I always get goosebumps, even if I wrote the song or Stephanie did, because it's pure emotion.
We create that.
And I listen to our music like I'm a fan. I mean, it's just like,
it's when people say, oh my God, this song, oh my God, I just feel like it's us listen to other song, it's now fans listen to our song. So I don't know.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, that's incredible. I have kind of a similar feeling when I'm out doing live concert photography. I get a very like, oh, like it generalizes you and makes you feel whole, and creating stuff like that is just so empowering. I love it.
Yeah, of course. And photography is really important. Like an image is like, what's the saying? An image and equal 1,000 words.
Yeah. It's something like that. It's very empowering. I definitely can relate to that. I kind of do the same thing when I look back at my photos. I'm like, oh my God, I did that. Like, that's so cool. So that's really cool. I really love that.
And the cover of an album is, it, you know, it's a photography, and it's can mean so much, just a cover, you know, like a thumbnail, like everything, like the visual, like we love movies.
Yeah.
We love new movies and photography and stuff.
Music video.
And if you put a great song with a great image, then all of your senses almost are like, you know,
They're on overload for sure. Like even looking at a band like Iron Maiden, and I'm not a big spokesman for Iron Maiden. I love them, but I'm not like the most knowledgeable. But their artwork and the artistry and their records and stuff like that, it's so insane to see like what goes with each song. So I definitely agree with that. Like even with Alice Cooper and even with Pink Floyd, like the Wall album, like the artwork on that was insane.
It's just it's their world.
Their world,
it's like
yeah.
a movie. This is what we try to do
Yeah.
in our live show, but you won't see it until next year. But still, I mean, we try to incorporate like images and move.
Yeah.
Like we try to have a movie live. We never, I mean, we never stop. I mean, we have the show. Just
It starts
it starts. It's never ending. There's always music. They have interlude between songs that. It's kind of a
That
soundtrack.
movie scene, like between the songs,
Yeah,
and
movie scenes and yeah, we're really, really visual.
yeah, very visual.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love that. That's so great. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me tonight. I really appreciate it. And everyone needs to go check out your guys' music and kind of experience everything you guys were just talking about.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's I mean, we have a few more songs coming out like in a few months, when yeah, this summer. So, and then the album will be released. But we always try to push ourselves and go somewhere that makes us feel comfortable or not, so we can learn from what we are doing. You know what you mean?
Right. Like learn from everything that you guys are doing and keep growing from that.
Even if it's something like, okay, let's try to do something we never did before. It's so uncomfortable, but then if you succeed, then it's a win. You're just like, yeah, we did it, you know?
Yeah, like it's all about trial and error. And even if you do something and it doesn't sound the way you wanted it to or whatever, you can always just scrap it and whatever. But if it turns out amazing, it could be like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah,
For sure.
exactly. Yes.
Thank you to you,
Yeah, thank you very much for
yeah.
having us in on your podcast. That was really very, very nice.
Yeah, that was so much fun, guys. Thank you again so much.
Okay, thank you. Have a good
Have a great night.
time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. My God. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time to talk with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank
So,
you.
you guys are promoting your new single Slave right now. What can you guys tell me about that?
Ooh, yeah, Slave. That I would definitely say that is one of our heaviest tracks. I would say lyrically and sonically as well. The music is very aggressive compared to our other releases. But yeah, that song, yeah, we had to dig deep to get that one done, to get that one out there.
Right, for sure. So you mentioned it's heavier than some of your other stuff. How would you describe your, like, I guess the sound of your other music to somebody who doesn't really know who you guys are?
Yeah, we're more of a hard rock band, you know, more of an alternative. We do mix, you know, some metal and Latin elements to our music, but Slave went more in a metal direction.
Yeah, definitely did.
It got heavy real quick.
Yeah,
That's kind of a mood right now, though. I feel like everyone just wants to listen to loud, aggressive music, and I feel like there's just a lot of pent up angst right now in the world, which is understandable.
the
So I think it kind of fit the time for when it got released.
time was perfect. We didn't mean to be that way, but the timing was perfect, actually.
You guys just saw everything ahead of time, right?
Yeah, we know. We can see the future, you know?
The next album is going to be called Nostradamus. No, I'm kidding.
I'm scared because we're working on I'm scared that one also might be
True, man. True. we can't give details away, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in a couple months when everyone listens back to this, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, that. Okay, we see this now. We need to, like, check out this band more. They know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, they know what's going to happen in a couple of months, so we might as well listen to them.
Yeah, you guys are like the fortune tellers over here.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how you guys came together, how the band formed.
Yeah, the band is been together since 2017. We were actually I had just moved, I think, to Florida, to Central Florida, about I think two years and a half, and the band was starting, so they needed a singer. They're like, hey man, you want to come sing? And I was like, at first I was a little hesitant, but once I heard Illogical, that's part of our first EP, and the EP is also called Illogical. Once I heard that first song, I was like, wow man, this is, yeah, I could get behind this.
That's awesome. Was that the EP that came out last year?
Yeah, the EP Illogical, we had been working on it for some time.
That's cool. And how would you say that was received, and how that helped kind of build your fan base?
Yeah, it was well received. A lot of people, you know, in the scene, the people that checked us out on the shows, they really connected. I think mostly with the lyrics, the lyrics went, you know, a little bit more deep and to anxiety and you know, and just personal. I like to write personal when it comes to lyrics. I just try to leave it all there on the recording. So it was the first EP definitely opened the doors for us, and so far it's been great.
That's awesome. So is Slave going to be a part of another EP, or is that going to be kind of an album, or do you guys not really know what you're doing with that yet?
Yeah, I would say Slave is going to be part of the second EP, and the next single, when I hope that we don't read the future with it, but it's going to be part of it as well.
Oh my god, you guys should just call it like Fortune Tellers or something like that.
It's funny that they mentioned that, because yeah, the next song that we're talking about, it's actually something that's going on right now at this very moment.
Ooh.
You know, with people, not necessarily about the whole thing that's going on, you know, with the injustice and all that, but it kind of relates to that. But we've been working in this for a couple of months, maybe more than that, and then all of this happened, and we're like, dude, we definitely need to put this song out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so relatable to what's going on right now. And
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. And hopefully in the next couple of months, we will be teasing you guys with something really cool.
Right. I'm very excited to hear it. Yeah, with everything going on right now, it's crazy with the pandemic and the injustice with everything. And just kind of, I don't feel like anybody has any semblance of what's going on in the world right now. And I think it's kind of cool when I see bands maybe intentionally or unintentionally kind of like you guys write stuff that has something to do with it, kind of like Rage Against the Machine kind of style.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I've been listening. I've been listening to them a lot. Their music goes with the times. For sure.
Yeah. I saw something on Facebook the other day, or one of the social media apps, and it said the world hit shuffle, went from Down with the Sickness to Riot real quick. And I was like, oh my God, that's kind of funny, but it's true.
It is true.
I thought that was very humorous, at least. A little bit of humor and the craziness going on right now.
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah, definitely. But we all need something for sure. So how have you guys been kind of staying busy since everything's been kind of shut down and nobody can really go out and do anything music-wise, go out and tour and stuff like that?
It's been hard, to be honest. We've just been, you know, doing the whole, at least we're lucky that we're in the digital era that everybody could do, you know, write their parts and do music via the internet or you know, computer, so we're lucky in that sense. So we've just been, you know, throwing ideas, you know, back and forth, and you know, getting ready for when everything goes back to normal, we can come out there, you know, stronger.
Come out swinging, ready to roll, hit the ground running.
Yes, definitely. It's needed right now. Like, this quarantine is not being, that's not being cool to anybody. I mean, staying at home, yeah, looking at the walls all day. And like I said, at least we got the internet, and like, I record something on the drums, I'll send it to Dave, he'll send something back like, hey, what about this and that. But it's not the same when you, you know, you're face to face, you want to like interact with people, but yeah, we'll take what we can get for now.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I do a lot of touring with doing photography for a lot of different bands and stuff. And this has just been crazy being home. This is the most I've been home in probably 5 years. So it sucks.
Everybody's grounded.
Yeah, everyone's just stuck at home right now. Like, I'm going to watch the paint dry again today. It's fun. Oh my God. So, I always love asking this question to everybody I bring on. It's kind of for both of you guys. What made you guys want to like pursue music?
You go, John.
So basically me, I mean, I come from a background, Puerto Rico. I don't know if you know something about it, but there's a lot of like reggaeton and dance music, right? When I was like around 13, 14, I got into skateboarding, and that opened a whole new world of music and crazy stuff, bands from Sex Pistols to Metallica, Motorhead, you name it. And then, that's cool. Like, I got into music, so I wanted to start to play an instrument, learn how to play an instrument, blah, blah, blah. And I got into drums. I don't know. I was always hitting stuff, and as a skater, I was always aggressive. So I was like, maybe this is for me. And moving on, I got more into it. And then, honestly, it's funny that I mentioned this band, but Motley Crue was the actual band that I look and I was like, damn, I want to have a band. I want to be a rock star, dude. Like, look at them. And, you know, like, they're not the greatest musicians, but they pull it together and they made it happen. So that to me was like, damn, if they made it happen, somebody like me can make it happen too. So that kind of motivated me to start. And then, long story short, it's been years since I've been, you know, I played a couple of different bands here and there, but like, this is the band that I've been looking to play with for the longest, you know, like this style, the Parallel Motion sound. Slave, to me, Slave's the actual sound that I was been looking for. Like, this is what I want my band to sound like. So yeah, it's been a long road, but still here, still loving this shit, and I'm sorry, still loving this, and you know.
We encourage swearing on this podcast.
Oh, for real? Fuck awesome. Yeah, fuck awesome. Yeah, I love it. Thank you. Awesome. But yeah, that's pretty much, long story short, that what got me into music. Like I said, skateboarding had a lot to do with it. It opened a new world for me.
That's awesome. I've never heard anyone kind of connect skateboarding and music before, so I'm really interested in that. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. For me, I have to say that the same. I grew up in Puerto Rico as well. And everything was dance, you know, music, tropical music. And when I saw Metallica, I was like, holy shit. Is this real? Like, you guys been lying to me. So, I after that, I did my research on Metallica. And then when I saw Korn, when I saw Blind from Korn, I was like, okay. I fell in love with the whole performance, you know, they used to go crazy on stage and he's like ripping his lungs out singing. So after that, I've just been on this journey on doing music from the heart, especially, you know. So those are my bands, Metallica and Korn.
That's awesome. You're the first person I've had on here mention Korn, so I need to ask you one question. Have you heard Jonathan Davis's solo album he put out a couple years ago?
Yes, I actually.
What did you think of it?
I actually went and saw the show live here in Tampa, and it was amazing. He's just vocally, he's amazing, and the musician he has on that album and on the record is like. It's amazing. I loved it. I personally loved it.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that record. That record got a lot of mixed reviews on it, but I absolutely loved it. I saw the tour twice because he toured. So I'm near like the Pittsburgh area right now. And Cleveland, Ohio is only like 2 hours from me. And he played in Cleveland on that tour before the album came out. And there were like no songs. So he's just playing the entire album and nobody has any clue what's going on. But it was like, oh my God, this is so incredible. Yeah. And then when he played in Pittsburgh, the album had already been out. And the vibe of that show was just so different than like a Korn show. It had such a cool like vibe to it. I loved it.
I loved it. I honestly loved it. It was different. And I did see a few of my friends that are, you know, huge Korn fans. They were like a little, they were looking at me weird, like, there's no moshing. There's like, everybody's just having fun and enjoying the music. I'm like, yeah, you have to enjoy it.
Right. You know what's wild? The first time I saw Korn, it was on the Return of the Dreads tour with Rob Zombie, and nobody moshed. Everyone was just standing around smoking weed. Like, nobody cared. And it was like, okay. And then I saw them, I think it was like almost a year later at a festival, and I thought I was going to die in that crowd with how rough it was. I was like, oh, I want to go back to the Return of the Dreads tour, please.
Every time I see them, there's a big mosh. The last time I saw them was last year with Alice in Chains, and it was good. It was a really good concert, but I think I enjoyed more the show that I saw them playing at Orlando's Hard Rock Cafe. It was more personal, and there was a big mosh pit. A big one.
That's awesome. What I actually photographed that tour last summer with Chains, and the crowd is really chill for that too. I don't know. Maybe it's just the venue, because that was the same venue I saw the Return of the Dreads tour at. Maybe it's just that venue is really chill. But like, it was just everyone's kind of standing around, smoking weed, hanging out, drinking, whatever. Nobody was really moshing or anything, which it doesn't necessarily bother me either way, but I just always found that really weird.
Yeah, yeah. At least for the Alice in Chains, it's a different vibe. That tour was a different vibe than when they were touring with Suicide Silence and you know, heavier.
Oh, God, yeah. If they're with Suicide Silence, like, we're going to just start throwing people at each other.
But, I'm a huge fan, so I don't care. I'll watch them whenever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I will endure this for you guys. I totally get that. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time to talk with me tonight. I appreciate it. And everyone, go check out Slave by Parallel Motion. Thanks again, guys. Have a great night.
You as well, Emmy. Thank you.
Thank you, Emmy. See you soon.
Bye.
Be safe.
You too. Bye.